welcome to The Fat Lip, the podcast for fat people, about fat people. I am your fat host, Ash. And today we have another long episode for you. Another conversation with an InfiniFat, where we're just talking about life and being this size and finding other women that we relate to because of our experiences. So I'm just going to jump right in because this is a long one. So today I'm talking to Deanna, and we're just going to jump in where we're talking about the winter because it's one of my most complained about subjects. I still am angry that spring is not here yet.
Every time I see that meme, it's like, why do I live in a place where it makes my face hurt?
Right, right. Like, why am I still doing this to myself?
Exactly. I hate that about this place, but what are you going to do? Because I am not built for the snow.
Right.
In any way, shape, or form.
Oh, God, me either. Like, for 6 months of the year, I live in terror that I'm going to go outside and slip and fall, and I'll just be stuck there because I won't be able to get up, and I'll freeze to the ground, and no one will find me, and I'll just die
exactly there
in a parking lot somewhere.
And you think to yourself, oh, God, I had fallen in the snow, in the ice, and it was at our trash can at our apartment complex. And this man comes up, and he's like, can I help you? And of course, me being this proud fat woman, I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm not fine, by the way. I'm completely paranoid. I'm worried that I'm never going to get up. My butt is now so numb. I'm not even sure I can get up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm too proud. I'm too like, oh, I got this. I don't need anybody's help because I'm a big woman. I don't need anything.
Right,
I can
right.
do this on my own. Yeah, yeah. It's awful. But it's
well,
I
don't know how you got up because I have to tell you, so a few years ago, my friends and I went out in a snowstorm on New Year's Day. And we were going out to lunch, and we should not have gone out. Like, the snow was pretty bad. We definitely shouldn't have gone. And when we got there, the parking lot was fine. It was a little snowy, but it was pretty clear. By the time we ate and got out, there were, like, 4 inches on the ground. And the sidewalk was clear. And my car was parked, like, against the sidewalk. So it was literally, like, a 4-foot walk from the sidewalk to my driver's side door. And
yeah.
I didn't think anything of it. I'm just like, oh, the sideway is clear. Like, it feels fine. I took one step off of the curb onto the parking lot. And it was, my foot just sailed out from under me. And I landed on my butt on the sidewalk, like with my feet out in the snow. And then, of course, like the curb was only like 4 inches tall, and that's not high enough for me to just get right back up. And there was nothing around for me to like pull myself up on. And so it was like, and my feet were just sliding around. I had no traction. So I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do here. And then, of course, like I'm in front of a restaurant, and it's all glass in the front of the restaurant. So everybody in the restaurant is looking at me, and like a waitress comes running out. And so thankfully I had some of my friends were with me, and like, of course, thin people always think they can help you. And it's like, there is nothing you can do for me, because if you try to pull me off the ground, I will pull you down with me. Like, there, you have nothing to offer me here.
No.
So,
and you're thinking, thank you so much for asking, but you're 120 pounds.
Right.
My left sock is 120 pounds.
Right. There is nothing you can do. Like, all you can do is, like, distract people so they're not staring at me while this happens.
Can you hold up my coat so they can't watch this distress?
Right, right. So, one of my friends that was with me is similar sized. And so one friend, like, stood in front of me and, like, put her feet against the front of my feet so that they wouldn't slide. And then the other friend that's the same size as me just grabbed my hands, and somehow between the both of us, we got me up. We just stood me right up. And of course, like, I'm soaking wet. Like, course, everybody is still staring from the restaurant. And I was like, wow, thank God I was not alone, because I honestly don't know what I would have done Like they would have, I would have had to have asked a waitress to bring a chair out so that I could like pull myself up.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was terrible. So now I live in fear that everywhere, like in the winter, live in fear that everywhere I go, that's going to happen to me.
Yes. And every time, and it's like, I'm thinking, okay, it's no big deal. It was just a dusting. And I get out and I instantly go, oh God. Because my walkway is a wooden plank with nothing underneath of it.
Oh God. Because
there's a floor beneath us. So it's cold wind on that wood. And I'm thinking,
right,
please just let me get to the car. If I just get to the car. Meanwhile, your whole body is starting to tense up.
Yeah.
And that's just what you need in your back is your sciatic nerve to like tense up so you can barely move. Barely breathe.
Right.
And my daughter, who's 18, is coming up and she's, you know, mom, it's a little slick here. And I'm just looking at her like, don't tell me this. I don't want to know. I don't need to. Just let me get there. Just let me focus on what God love her.
Don't talk to me right now. To me.
Exactly. But here's my concern. She's right there next to me. She's always thinking, you know, how's my mom going to get there? Mm-hmm. How's mom going to do this? She's 18 going to college. I need her to blossom. And not think, oh, how's my mom going to get anywhere?
Right.
You
right.
know, it's a catch 22 because I depend on her and love it. And at the same time, I'm like, go be your own person.
Right.
Mom
right.
will be fine.
Right.
I'll just tell you the funny stories about how I fell later.
Yeah. After I'm already up and safe, then I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you. Exactly. So hopefully this will help you and hopefully this will put your daughter's mind at ease. But I bought some of those like traction attachments for the bottom of my shoes. Have you seen those?
I saw that on your website. Yeah.
Yeah. So some of them are bad. So I used to live in Boston and take the bus and the train everywhere. And the ones I had then were not good because they're only made for outside surfaces. So as soon as like you come inside to a smooth floor, then it's like you're outside on ice again with nothing on.
Oh God.
So because they're like hard and smooth, like spikes. So,
right.
But this year I finally found a pair that is made for indoor and outdoor and they're wonderful. Like you should get them. They have been a lifesaver. Every time there's even like a hint of snow, I'm like, I'm not going out without those. Like, I don't care if I have to wear these terrible heavy shoes that they fit on. I'm going to do it. Like, it's just the way it has to be. And they have been a lifesaver.
People don't realize that. Like, my friends will be like, hey, let's go do, you know, it's supposed to snow. I'm preemptively looking at the weather forecast in the winter because I don't want to go out and get a glass of wine or three margaritas and then try to treacherously walk in the snow to my car.
Right.
This is a bad idea. Now I'm inebriated and you want me to walk? Like, there's just something that doesn't click. The only good news is the place where we get margaritas is right next to the fire station.
That's
the only thing. So I can call for help.
Right.
Hot looking men over there.
Yeah.
To help me out. But
bring as many as you got. Want. Yeah.
But see, that's my thing is, you know, I fall. If I do fall, like, I know people are looking at me. My next thing is I stand up and I'm like, yay, I'm clear. 10 points for that landing. You know, make a joke of it because clearly people are going to stare anyway.
Right.
But it's just like, it's part of what I always end up in some sort of humor, making it a joke.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Talk about how I fell. Yeah, it's the only way to deal with life is laugh a little. If you don't,
agreed.
Then you cry all the time.
Yeah. agreed. And especially because like, you don't want to be that fat lady that like fell and is making a scene and then also crying because everybody's looking at her. Like you gotta, even if you feel a little bit like that on the inside, you gotta just pretend that it's not happening.
You suck it up, buttercup. But the thing is, if you start crying, you're mad at yourself for crying.
Oh yeah.
It's like you're angry. You start getting angry. It's not that you're hurt or anything. You're just angry. And my worst problem is my best friend who I go pretty much everywhere with, she's a plus size lady, nowhere near as big as me. And her first instinct, if I fall, it's awful, Ash. It's awful. She starts laughing. When she's in like nervous situations, she laughs.
Yep.
Funerals, she laughs. So she's trying to help me. Meanwhile, she's laughing in my face. And I'm just looking at her like, It's a good thing I love you right now because I could strangle you if this wasn't a thing. But she always manages to like get it together and try to help me up. I mean, the last time I fell, I believe, was we went to go get a consultation for a tattoo. And so you're in a tattoo parlor of all places, but the floor was parquet and it had like a design on it, but it had a little lip. That like a ramp. I didn't see that. And you know, you didn't, I didn't pick up my knee have that. I tripped over the tiniest little ledge in the middle of the tattoo parlor.
Oh my gosh.
I was mortified. So mortified. Can I tell you, they were the sweetest people ever.
Oh,
you know,
good.
Like you think these big, gruff, long haired tattoo dudes are going to be so like, oh my God. No, they came over and they were like, can we help you? Do you want us to just get everybody out of your way? What do you need? Meanwhile, the only way to get up Ash is right by their really cool looking, what are those plants that have like the little spikes in them that are in Arizona? I can't
succulents?
Think of it.
Cactus?
Yes, cactuses. So I have to slide up this wood bench next to a cactus.
Oh, man.
I bruised for weeks. Awful. But the minute I got up, he says, do you need a glass of water? Do you need some air? Do you need some privacy? I was just like, you guys are so
sweet. So sweet.
Out of all the things that, you know, like, I was like, oh, these guys are going to be so just, you know, mortified that I did. No, they were the sweetest guys ever.
Oh, it that's so nice.
Probably. That's what, you know, that's what when you're a big person is you realize that these are my people.
Yeah,
these people
sure.
are judged by what they are looked like when they walk in the door. So they are clearly not going to judge me.
Yeah, definitely.
What I look like, you know, and that's why I always think no matter what, you just don't judge people. It's just not, I don't want to be judged by anybody. So I don't judge anybody else when I'm walking around doing
right,
my thing.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Cause we're like, we've all had that on some level for something in our lives. And
I wish it's something that, you know, people are like, all my life I get, you're pretty, but you could be a plus size model, but you're too big. I would date you if you lost weight. It's always been, you know, you've got enough, but you're just a little too big.
Yeah.
And I don't think I would change that for anything because it's of all the things, it's a lesson that has taught me that, you know, to be empathetic to other people, to not automatically assume by one person's looks or their house or their car that they are anything other than a person, something new to learn from.
Yeah.
Instead of just automatically assuming, oh, well, this guy, just write this person off. It's just not,
right.
It's not the way and I taught that to my kids. I feel like I've taught that to my kids everywhere they go to not judge anybody. A book is never what you by the cover, it's what you read. It's always a different ending at the end that you didn't assume.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been, but at the same time, I have a 10-year-old son who, you know, there's all kinds of things at school, and he's like, Mom, I know you don't want to go because, you know, the kids will make fun of you. And it's like, I'll go anyway. They're going to make fun of something, you know?
Yeah.
It's just them calling it, and the fat word, he got mad because a friend said, your mom's fat. And he was like, Mom, that's insulting. And I thought, no, that's just a description. That's
right.
Not me. That's just the word. It's taken some time to get to that way. As I read your blog post and things like that, it's taken a time to realize that fat is not necessarily derogatory.
Right. Definitely. Definitely.
It's who I am. It's what people automatically see from me. But I know that when I go back to certain places, like my grocery store, you know, they remember me and they remember that I'm not mean and I wasn't nasty. And I start to talk to these people every week when I go in and I start to learn their names. And if I'm not there, they actually miss seeing me. But it's because I was so fat that they remembered me and my face and everything about me.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think.
Yeah, the thing about the fat word is that it's only negative because we're taught to associate negative things with it. So we're taught that fat means sloppy or fat means unhealthy or fat means, you know, dumb in some cases. Like, and so There's nothing like there's nothing that is actually inherently associated with the word fat other than you have a large body.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Like plenty of people do. Plenty of people are fat. Like the negativity and the insult comes from the other words that become associated with fat. And like, we just need to like, it's up to us to claim the word fat and say, but I'm not, I am fat. But I'm not disgusting or sloppy or any of those things because,
oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, because like there's no, we don't have to associate negative words with a state of being, with like a body size. We'll be back with Deanna in just a second, but this seems like a good place to take a pause and talk about our sponsor, Big Fig. It's tax time, and if you're getting a refund, it's time to think about investing in yourself by buying a new bed. And if you're a fat person, you should definitely consider a Big Fig. Actually, Deanna and I talked about this, and she has one too. Big Fig is the first mattress system designed specifically for larger sleepers. It features both springs and foam for optimal support and comfort, stronger edges that won't crush down under you, and a thermogel top layer to keep you cool and comfy all night. I love my Big Fig. It is so sturdy and supportive, and I have never slept better. Go to bigfigmattress.com to learn more and use the code FATLIP at checkout for $100 off of your purchase and to let them know I sent you. Invest in yourself this tax season and get a Big Fig. You will not regret it.
Mm-hmm. And that's been like my whole life. I feel like I've always made sure that sloppy idea is not ever like, I make sure when I go out my hair is brushed. I make sure that I'm wearing, I do take off the shirt that I wear at home that's got holes all over it. I wear my best shirt out. I always try to look, my daughter's always like, Mom, you know, we could have been gone 15 minutes ago. You don't need mascara. I don't, but I want to put my best face forward. If this is, if I'm going to be what people see first thing in the room, because they're going to stop, they're going to stare, people are going to snicker, they're going to, you know, point out to someone else that I'm there. I'm going to put my best self forward. I'm going to smile at those people who are snickering because there's no point in making it, adding more to it. I'm not going to pile on top of it. I'm going to go out there and be a pleasant person. I was just at the DMV today for the third time because I missed some important document for this or that or the other thing. And instead of going in there and being nasty, I went in there and I was just as pleasant as I could be. And she's like, yeah, you guys have been here for the last 2 days. She already recognized me. Mm-hmm. She remembered me from yesterday or the day before. And she doesn't, you know, I don't need to add insult to injury by being nasty or mean. It's not her fault. She didn't make these plans up. People assuming that I'm fat and sloppy or that I'm sloppy and gross because I'm fat. That's what their parents have taught them.
Yeah.
So what I try to explain to my son, it's like, you know, if your friend is saying that, it makes me wonder what's going on in their home.
Yeah,
is their mother,
sure,
you know, being made to feel like she can't gain weight. She can't be, you know, a little thick, or she needs to do this. It makes me wonder what they're hearing.
Yeah,
from
for
home
sure.
About it.
For sure.
And that makes me a little bit sad.
Yeah. And like, unfortunately, they're hearing it everywhere. Like, on TV and movies, magazines, like this is everywhere. And it's so pervasive. And really the way you're teaching your kids is not the norm. And like, that's what the place that we all need to get to. But unfortunately, like you can't control the way other people raise their kids. So it's like, then you just have to teach your kids that when they say things like that, when other kids say things like that, it's okay to be like, yeah, and like, yep, my mom's fat. And like, that doesn't mean anything. Like that has nothing to do with you or me. And it says nothing about her. She's fat.
Yeah,
and that's it.
I taught him to say, you know, she's fat, but she's beautiful to me. And that's all that matters. And, or that she's beautiful and she loves me. Like me being fat has nothing to do with me being able to parent him or love him enough. Like that's,
right.
And that's definitely not even a point. I'm still his mother. I love him. I love being out in public with him. I love doing things with him. It, because it may take me a little bit longer to get to the sidewalk, doesn't change the fact that he's still going to have a good time.
Yeah,
his mom
of
and
course.
Him are, he's still going to have this memory.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Yeah, it's so hard in society anymore, but I feel like it's changing. Like, I found you on Instagram, and the whole idea of the instant effect, I loved it. And it didn't even give me pause. I instantly went on there and put a picture up and tagged myself in it.
Yeah,
and
that's amazing.
I, like, my friends on Instagram that, because of course I'm under private, but they were all like, you're beautiful. And it's so good, you know. I forget how they put it, but I didn't put myself up there in my whole body because I said I was ugly. I was putting myself up there to embrace it.
Yeah,
and
of course.
It struck me as funny. They're being sweet. My friends are being kind, saying that I'm pretty, but I just put a picture of myself up there and put the word fat. And their first thing was to compliment me. I didn't say I was ugly. I said I was fat.
Right. And like, you can be fat and pretty, and you can be fat and intelligent. And yeah, it's just people are so used to associating negative things with the word fat.
Yes. Their first thought, and it occurred to me, it's like, that's exactly what you're saying. People are assuming that I'm putting myself down when I say I'm fat. I'm not. I'm calling a spade a spade. I'm saying what I am. It's a descriptive word that doesn't say everything about me. That's just one part of me. I'm also blonde.
Right.
I also
right.
have tattoos. I mean, these are all things that could define me more than just the fat.
Right.
But it's the first thing that people who love me and want to support me do is to tell me I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, and that's not what I say. I didn't want to go into all my comments and say that, but it was like, that's their first instinct. So the next picture I post up there on Instagram was one that my husband had taken, and it was just, he caught me off guard, and I think he had just made me laugh, and it was in a dress that I was going to wear to a wedding, and my hair isn't done. I don't have all my makeup on or whatever. And I hid this picture in my camera or in my phone and never put it up there. And I thought, I'm just going to post this and tag it in Ash's hashtag, just because I need to accept that it doesn't have to be a perfect photo.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's so important for other fat women. Like, it's hard to post those photos sometimes. Like, it's hard because it's just hard to step out in that way and, like, make yourself vulnerable because there are a lot of idiots on the internet. But, but like, for me, it's important to me and has been important to me throughout this whole process to post those photos for other fat women, because like, it's important that to show that, you know, in every photo, you don't have to be all done and you don't have to be wearing a really pretty outfit and you don't have to look as thin as you possibly can. Like, you can look exactly how you look. Like, there's no wrong way to be fat. Like,
you don't have to
always be performing, you know, so feminine and so put together. Like, it's okay to be fat and, you know, wearing sweatpants. That's fine too, you know?
Yeah, because our day-to-day, the men who love us or the people who love us, they see us like that with our ponytails and, you know, mascara smudged possibly, and a tank top that's comfortable but maybe doesn't look the greatest. That's truly who we are, not sunlight beaming in, perfect highlight.
You
spent 25 minutes blending your eyeshadow. Like, don't get me wrong, though, I love makeup. I love doing it on other people, and I love the way it makes you feel. If that's what you need to feel, go out and feel confident, then you should do that. But at the same time, I think it's important to put out those non-perfect Instagram photos.
Yeah.
In that picture, I posted the thing about me is my fat is misshapen. Mm-hmm. One side's bigger than the other. It would be fantastic if there was some sort of way that I could shift all of it to make it all round and perfect. But that's just not who being this fat is. It's all about being imperfect, but it's about embracing how imperfect you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how they're wearing different. I'm looking at your pictures lately and I'm like, why don't I buy button-up shirts and tie them up high around my waist like that? Like, that is so cute. I'm definitely going to do that.
I mean,
buying men's t-shirts because they're big, you know?
Yeah. I love that stuff. Like, just trying out new things and like seeing how it looks on you. And because like, We've been taught our whole lives, like, there are certain things that you can wear if you're a fat person, and you're not supposed to be too exposed, and you're not supposed to look too slutty, and you have to have certain areas covered. You can't ever show your belly outline. Like, but like, where would you want? Try things, like, see what looks cute to you. Like, there don't have to be any rules, and there's no proper way to be a fat person. You don't have to, like, dress a certain way because that's what society tells you is acceptable. Like, just try things out. Do what you want.
And that's the thing about it, is the slutty thing. It's like, for me, I don't know about every woman, but one of the best parts about being plus size and big girl is that I've got the boobs, and why not show them? Why not, like, embrace the fact that I've got a little bit of cleavage? You know, I'm not flashing everybody, but this part of me looks pretty good. You know, put on a nice statement necklace, draw attention, not just to, you know, your hips or whatever. Like, and the best part about it is, it doesn't matter all this stuff. What I feel like people remember you for is your smile and your attitude and the way that you, when they did sit down to talk to you, what impression did you leave on them? They may have thought, oh, well, there's a slobby girl, she's fat, whatever. But did you sit down? Did you talk to them when you did? Did you present yourself, you know, nicely and sweet, and talk when, you know, you had something to say instead of trying to barrel over everyone? Like, these are the things that I think people actually, after the initial judgment, that's what people really think of you.
Right, right.
And how you carry yourself.
Right. And that's what we should value in everyone else too. Like, if you're a good person, then that's what we should value. Like, we shouldn't care how you dress or whether you're wearing makeup today or whether your hair is in a greasy ponytail. Like, that stuff doesn't matter.
But, you know, if you're a girl, you know your hair looks best in a greasy ponytail.
Yeah.
You don't have any flyaways or anything. 3-day hair is the best hair ever. A little dry shampoo, you got that day covered.
I have to tell you that I hate dry shampoo. I hate it. It makes my head so itchy. I don't know.
Oh my God, me too.
It, like, I put it on and I'm like, oh my God, I can't take it. It's so itchy.
But you know you're going to shampoo the next day because it's going to itch.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it for me. But that's the thing. It's like, you know, put yourself out there. Use your powders. I know, as a big girl, like, these are things I wish somebody had taught me. Like, there was a book or something to say, hey, are you a really big girl? Then you need to invest in a good powder. Have you heard of Amen's powder? These are things that mothers pass on to their daughters. But if you're a really big person and you don't have anybody in your family who is, you don't know what to do or how to treat things or how to, when you shower, you should always put, you know, lotion and powder on.
Yeah.
The first thing that
make sure you're completely dry. You don't want to go out damp.
Because you got extra crevices. Let's not ignore the extra crevices. Like, this is what happens when you get to be a really big girl. And it's not a bad thing. It's just what life is. Like, that's what I loved about your blog post, is you were like, I read one and you were like, the holidays are coming. Here are big plus size chairs. And I chuckled to myself a little because I carry with me at all times, a fold-out chair for 1,000-pound capacity.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going to be, but I know I'm going to have some place, you know, comfortable to sit down.
Right,
I will always carry it with me.
Exactly.
It may be a 50-pound heavy chair as I carry it, but, you know, these are things that you have to do. And I'm so happy that there is, you know, a resource for people, that you're out there, that you're letting people know, hey, we exist, and we don't have to hide the shadows.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
We don't have to pretend that we don't exist.
Right.
I love that. I love that about your message.
Well, I'm so glad. And I'm so glad you found me and that we have connected now. And I'm so glad that you're posting photos too, because, like, I think it's just super important for infinifat people that are, you know, on the fattest end of the spectrum, to just be seen, because, like, it's just important. We're all different sizes and that's fine. And you don't have to, like, wear a size 24 to be an acceptable fat person. You can be whatever size you are. Like,
and you can still look, you know, good even in your photos that aren't, you know, perfect lighting and perfect hair. And that's just the way that we are. And I clicked that hashtag when I found you, and I saw that most of it was just you.
Yeah.
And I was like, why? why I didn't, it took me, you know, a good 5 seconds to really think about this, to just go ahead and put myself out there. But I'm still not as brave as you in that my Instagram is, you know, on a private. So yeah. All these people that have, you know, seen it, I've gotten a lot of requests for friends on there, and I go and I look, and there are people who don't even have photos out themselves.
Yep.
That's
yep.
my thing is, if you don't even have a photo out yourself, why do you need to be looking at mine?
Yeah.
But you're so brave in that you're just like, I'm out there. I'm thinking that I should do the same thing, is that I should maybe remove my family part of it and just put myself and hashtag the Infinifat on it so that people can see it anywhere.
Because yeah.
we need to be out there. It needs to be a representation. It needs yeah. to be seen.
Yeah. And like, I don't
away in the corner.
And I don't, you know, if people don't feel safe putting themselves out there like that, for whatever reason, a lot of people, I mean, like, there is a fair amount of troll, like there's a lot oh, yeah. of trolling, and, you know, for whatever reason, people aren't equipped to deal with that yet. And that's totally fine. And like, if you're a fat person who doesn't want to put themselves out there publicly because you don't want to deal with that, or you don't want your family to have to deal with that, like, that is totally fine. But mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in a position where, like, I can handle that stuff. And it doesn't mm-hmm. bother me. And I don't, like, I don't care what anybody thinks. My husband doesn't mm-hmm. care what anybody thinks. So it's like, I feel like I'm in a good position to do that. Like, I don't necessarily think that, like, anybody is less than if they can't do that.
Right, right.
But I do think it's important for as many giant fat people as possible to just
put themselves out there.
Yeah. To just, like, yeah. be visible, because and do it for the other fat people like you. Like, mm-hmm. don't do it for the trolls, because you're never going to change their mind anyway. It's not even worth it. It's not worth trying. Mm-hmm. But do it for other fat people that need the help and the reassurance that what they are is okay, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's important. And I think that you're right, exactly right what you're saying. And I think that there's no reason why, you know, my issue would be my family being, you know, in some of my Instagram posts, but mm-hmm. what if I created my own that was just me, so that I'm the only one who sees, you know, my kids or friends on that page,
yeah.
so that I can, I see the trolls and I'm okay with that. Like, not okay with it, but I can handle it.
Yeah.
But I don't see why I shouldn't put something different so that I can encourage other people, because it's so refreshing. And it's taken, I mean, I'm 44, and it's taken so long for people to acknowledge who we are and that we're out there. And I'm so wanting to jump on that with you. I think it's so brave of you and so smart of you. And I think if we all just band together, because I think there's enough of us, that it could be a lot bigger of a thing in yeah. life than it is.
Yeah.
And it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there are plenty of, and so, like, there are so many, like, you know, size 20 to 26 yeah. or 28 girls that are, like, really out there now. And, you know, 10 years ago, that was not the case. And so they've done it, and now they're acceptable. And, like, the world is starting to turn and see that it's totally fine to be that size. So, like, we're next. Mm-hmm. It's our turn. So let's do it too.
Yeah. Let's get in the limelight. Let's show ourselves. Let's be right. seen. Let's not sit in the back corner and let everybody take all the accolades. Like, it should be something that is, you know, we're out there. There's so many of us. You talk in America every time you turn on the TV, how everybody's, you know, obese and big. And, like, this is not necessarily a death sentence for you.
No.
I am one of those people who I have thought about that gastric bypass. Mm-hmm. And I've gone to the doctor, and he does the once over, and he sits down and he says, more than one doctor says, you know, for the size you are, you're healthy.
Yeah.
And that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. You know, like, you're telling me just by my sheer size that I should be unhealthy? That's what you're saying, is yep. just by the sheer number of me. That doesn't define who I am. That
no.
doesn't instantly give me high blood pressure. It doesn't instantly give me any of these things, because I don't have that. And even at 44, I've still got regular good blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't sign me off to get me a weight loss surgery, which is insane to me, because I can look at a number of people I've seen get it, and they have less than next to nothing, no issues. Mm-hmm. Like, how is that automatically assuming? It's hard to find those doctors also that look at you as a whole being instead of you're this weight and this height, so you should be definitely be sick. You should yep. be more worse off than you are.
Yep.
Like, I should be able to go to this doctor and say, I have a cold. Oh, you have bronchitis. Not that piece of paper. I don't know if she's got this, where it says bronchitis and then it says morbid obesity at the bottom.
Yep. Yep. Always. Always.
And you're like, I have bronchitis, or I came in here for a UTI. What does that have to do with me being morbidly obese?
Yep.
You know?
Always. Always.
So frustrating.
Yep.
It's like the first thing that they want to do is look at you and, you know, you're in there because you have a sinus infection and they're wanting to look at your whole body. And, you know, I've gone through crazy diets and lost, at one point I lost 80 pounds. Now I was eating 4 ounces of lettuce per day.
That's wow.
It. I was eating like a bird. And, you know, he's like, oh, congratulations. I see you've lost weight, blah, blah, blah. His next thing to me is, you realize that you're going to have that skin cut off. Really? Can I just go ahead and get to where I need to have the skin cut off? Like, I left that doctor's appointment so discouraged because I was feeling good. I was like, lost this weight, my knees hurt less, and I'm doing it. I'm doing what I need to do. And here comes this person who immediately takes what I've done and cuts it down.
Yep, yep.
Just dissects it into, you'll never be a normal size person. Honey, I didn't want to be a normal size person. I just wanted to be a little bit more mobile.
Yeah.
This had nothing to do with
my size
or looking normal.
Right. And like at that point, that's when you like start to see like, okay, so it's not about my health. It's about the way I look. Mm-hmm. And even for doctors, it's more about the way you look than your health. Because like,
yeah,
doctors, like the last time I had to go in, I had two doctors in a row that before they ever looked at my chart, before they ever knew what was wrong with me, were already suggesting I get surgery. And it's like, mm-hmm. you have no idea my medical history. You don't know anything about me.
No.
You haven't even looked at my blood pressure. So like,
right.
So like, clearly it is about what I look like. And
I must instantly be thinner.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And like, that's their only goal. Normal. And yeah. And like, unfortunately, doctors are subject to the same kind of biases that we all are. And so that's how that happens. And so like, the trolls on the internet that tell you, well, you can't possibly be healthy because of the way you look. Like, there are trolls on the internet that are also doctors because everybody believes this, you know? And,
yes.
And yeah, it's just, unfortunately, doctors are not, they're not above that kind of bias. Like they have it just the same as everyone else. And
it's so frustrating when you, like I said, like I have two kids, you know, like the first one I went in, I was 26 years old and, you know, I had this doctor and I liked her. She was matter of fact. She didn't come in and try to tell me I needed to lose weight or this or that. She came in and she said, listen, at your weight, it would be better with this breech child if we went ahead and do the C-section. And I got in there and she had two nurses tape up my stomach so that she could get underneath and do what she needed to do. Fast forward 8 years later, and I'm having my youngest, and I'm 34 at this point. And this doctor, she has one nurse there, and we're going to do a C-section just because she said I'd had one before, so I needed to do it again.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, all right. And it turns out to be a horrific experience. She didn't tape up my stomach. She ended up cutting the placenta. My son's not doing well. I'm not doing well. My poor husband, I look over at him and he's just white as dust. And I'm thinking, I'm starting to feel stuff. And that's the last thing I remember.
Oh my God.
I come in and out, they say my son's out. Nobody tells me because, of course, he's not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this woman, this doctor, for whatever reason, she wanted to act like my fatness wasn't there. I'm not asking you to do that.
No.
Let's go ahead and call it what it is. It is, I am fat. Okay, now next.
Yeah, like, so what's this what are the steps that need to happen now? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm aware that I'm going to need to sit on a chair with no handles because my hips are so big. I'm aware of this. Mm-hmm. Let's not pretend. Let's not hide it. Let's walk in and let's, okay, I realize that I'm here because my knees are bad, and I realize that my weight is a part of that problem. But let's look at it, realize that overnight I can't drop all the weight you need.
Right.
What is our next step? Like,
right.
Let's not act like I'm not what I am.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. I order my clothes. I've seen a mirror. Let's move on.
Right.
It's so hard to get them to do that.
Right. And I think also doctors don't, like, I don't know if they, like, I can't believe that they don't know this, but doctors don't acknowledge the fact that for most people, losing significant amounts of weight and keeping it off is statistically impossible. For mm-hmm. most of the population, if you lose a large amount of weight, you're probably going to gain it back. And mm-hmm. so it seems unethical for doctors to continue prescribing weight loss when they know from previous experience and from clinical studies that the patient's probably going to gain it all back. Like, and yeah. also, we also know that losing large amounts of weight and gaining it back over and over again is incredibly bad for your health. So like, so doctors should not be prescribing these giant weight losses when they know that it's going to come back and that the patient's going to be less healthy in the end. So like, let's work with, okay, let's say, okay, I have this problem. I'm diabetic or something. Now, how do we deal with this independent of my weight? If I never gain or lose another pound in my entire life, then how are we going to deal with this? Because that's mm-hmm. the only ethical way and the only productive way to handle health problems. Because weight loss is probably not going to happen. If it does happen, it's probably going to come back. And like,
And it comes back with a vengeance.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
and often with much more.
Carb, it comes back.
Right, oh, yeah. right.
You right. lose 80 pounds, but you gain 95.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so doctors need to stop.
It's a horrible issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Doctors need to stop prescribing these like extreme weight loss schemes that don't work. Or if they do work, they end up not working in the long term. So,
or you have to have so much money to get rid of the excess skin.
And
my thought is, honey, if I get down to a normal sized fat person, you know, at 22, I just wear Spanx. You know, I'm not concerned about, and let's be honest, the people that I know that have had this surgery, the gastric bypass surgery, they can eat a Venti white mocha, right? They can drink that. But mm-hmm. if you give them a baked piece of chicken, they're throwing up in an hour.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be able to drink sugar. It's supposed to give you a dumping feeling. What they don't tell you is not everybody gets that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
So some people just substitute healthy protein for a Venti white mocha because that's what they can stomach.
Right. Right.
How much sugar's in that?
Right. 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 And also, like, we don't have a lot of long-term studies of people that have had weight loss surgery. Mm-hmm. It's still too new of a surgery to have long-term studies. And a lot of people still gain the weight back. Like, even if you have your stomach amputated.
Shrunk.
Like, yeah. Like, it will stretch back out because that's what the stomach does. And so a lot of people still gain the weight back. So then you've, like, put your body through so much trauma and, like, essentially starved it. Like, you... A lot of people have nutrition absorption problems afterwards, and then they gain all the way back anyway. So it's like, you put yourself through so much, like so much trauma for your body, and like, it might not work. Like, what's the point?
Because you're not dealing with the fact of any of the mental issues that goes along with it is what they're not dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. And the thing is, at the same time, if you are our size and you are happy, what is wrong with you?
Yep.
Like, people automatically try to find out, how do you do what you do? Like, I have friends of mine that are beautiful, normal sized people, you know, I look at them and I look at how much they hate their body, constantly going to the gym, constantly not eating. I'm going to drink this weekend. So I'm not going to eat all day Friday, like doing these things to their body. What is going on in your head that you don't love yourself enough to eat a salad with some chicken on it?
Yeah.
You know, like, what is going on with you? And at the same time, they look at you, like, how can you be so happy all the time? How can you, you know, be like, I get excited and I go out to dinner with my friends. So, you know, you dress up, you do your hair, your makeup, and make yourself feel good so that you can go have a good time. And these people are just looking at you like, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, why shouldn't I? Just because I'm big means I should be sad and depressed and mopey? No. Am I going to start a diet and lose all the weight in months? No, that's a year and year long process. Like, you can't do that overnight. And what is wrong with loving my body? Like, enjoying my belly?
Yeah.
Like, that's taken so long. And it's just recently, like, I've seen some of your posts and I'm like, I love that. I do like my belly. There's those days where you're feeling good and your belly's all soft and what's wrong with that? What's wrong with loving every little inch of your body, even if it's imperfect?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
And why can't everybody do that?
Right.
I think, no matter what size you are.
Yeah. I think a lot of people who are not fat live in fear of becoming fat. So that's why they are so obsessed with their diet and exercise, because they look at fat people and they're like, oh my God, I'm so afraid of being that. But like, once you're fat, like, you can allow yourself to be like, well, I'm already here, so there's nothing to be afraid of anymore. So like, I'm just going to enjoy my life. And like, unfortunately, a lot of fat people never get there. A lot of fat people are always thinking like, oh my God, I'm so fat. Like, how do I get to where those people are, the thin people? And unfortunately, like, this is the roller coaster that many people are on, and some people unfortunately never find their way off of. But yeah.
And then there's nothing at the same time. It's like, you know, I love myself and I put myself out there, and you and I have like a positive outlook on things. We're not the ones on those shows about 600 pound life.
Right.
Because we wouldn't sit in the corner and be quiet and show how miserable we are. Sure, there are days, I'm not even going to sit here and say there aren't days that I'm miserable about something. I do get that way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm alive. I get to see the sun. I get to see my children laugh. I get to, you know, joke around with my friends. Why be miserable? It takes more effort to be so unhappy all the time for me.
Yeah.
I have to actually try to do that. I can't. I'm just not that person.
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, like, for a lot of the people on My 600 Pound Life, I think that's part of the problem with that show, is that we don't see a lot of people our size that are having joyful lives, right? Like, that's the, like, the only 600 pound people you see are the people on that show, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you are a 600 pound person who is at home watching TV, and that is the only person that you ever see that looks like you, is a sad person, a sad person who like hates themselves and just desperately wants to be thin and is just crying all the time. Like,
live codependent lives with their family. Yeah.
Right. And like, at some point you think, God, like, I'm that size. Maybe that's the way I should feel. Like, maybe I should get gastric bypass too. And like, unfortunately, I think for a lot of people that are that size, that becomes the only thing they know. Like, it becomes, you know, people our size. I mean, I am that size. And like, I am lucky enough to have had a lot of fat role models and have been involved in fat acceptance for a long time. So like, I never really got to that point. But I can totally understand, you know, being a fat person that doesn't know any other fat people or ever see anybody anywhere else, thinking, well, like, this is the life that I'm resigned to, because this is the only representation of people my size that I see. So like, I guess I have to be sad. And I guess that I have to hate myself, and I guess I need to go to Texas or wherever and meet this doctor because so that he can tell me that everything that's wrong with my life, you know?
Right. And right. fix it in one surgery, by the way. That's all going to be fixed.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And poof, it's all fixed.
Yeah. Right, right. And yeah, and so that's why I think it's so important for people like us to be visible on the internet, because there are people out there that are sitting at home watching TV, and the only people they ever see that look like them are on those sad shows. But like, we can show them that you don't have to be that. Like, you don't have to be a sad person who has to go get surgery, because like, there is life. There is life at this size, that, and you don't have to try to get thinner.
Yeah, the point of the show is showing how hard it is for them to get to the doctor's appointments and get to their here or there. How about you show a 600-pound person who is making it in the day?
Yeah.
Who is, I know for a fact my daughter's going to graduate high school. I know for a fact it's going to be in a place I can't sit. You're right. I am going to start calling people, asking how early I can get there. Can I bring my own chair? I'm going to take... I'm going to look at it and say, okay, I'm that, but I still need to do this. Yep. How am I going to do it?
Yep.
Instead of letting things happen to me, it's okay to take action in your own life and call yourself that and be okay with it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
let other people see you that way.
Right.
But they hide that part of us. And that's not
absolutely
helpful to anyone.
Absolutely. Like we need to show other people our size that there are ways around, you know, your struggles. If you can't fit in a certain car, then there's other cars that you can fit in. If you if you can't fit in at the chair at your doctor's office, you bring your own chair. Like, there are ways around all these things.
You stand and or you ask them if there's a chair with no handles. Or I know my regular doctor, I go and they put me in the room with no handles. And I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not, let's not act like this isn't happening. Let's acknowledge that it is and go find me a chair. You know, I'm not making a big deal out of it. Let's just go find me a chair. And the same aspect, you were saying cars that don't fit. My daughter is a plus size girl and we're trying to buy her a car because she's going away to college. And so I take her to the dealership, but she's, you know, 18 and dealing with her own body and being always being bigger than everybody at school. Everybody is, you know, this tiny girl with this long hair wearing leggings. And here she is out there in the world, plus size, and she's got blue hair and she's trying to look and be different and acknowledge that she's different.
Yeah.
So she doesn't want to stand at a car dealership and get in these cars and see if she can fit. And I looked at her and I was like, honey, we're here. It doesn't matter who's looking. You're beautiful. I love you. You love you. You get in the car, see if it fits, see if it works.
Yeah.
If it doesn't, we'll go on to the next one. I'm not going to throw up the flag and just go home with my tail between my legs.
Right. And there's no value judgment on whether or not you can fit into a car. Like, if you can't fit into a Honda Civic, like, that doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't say anything about who you are or what you can contribute to this world. It means I can't fit into a Honda Civic. I have to buy a different car, you know? Like, it means, it doesn't mean anything.
And I find that when you do acknowledge it that way, the people around you, the car dealership, the people that we dealt with there treated us differently because I acknowledged it. This is what's happening. I need to find her a car that fits. What do you have? She can't fit into this little thing. She's got size for days. God love her. What do you have that fits? Do you have anything bigger? We ended up with an SUV, something that neither of us would have ever, you know, thought of and wanted for her, but they found it and they knew that this is my budget. This is all I can give you. You find me one that fits this. And that's what she's got. She's sitting up there in her little SUV, happy as a clam, because I acknowledged it. I didn't try to hide from it. It's hard to teach that to people, to someone, especially, you know, at 18, somebody who's self-conscious and is, you know, trying to make it just through school just to finish the day. It's hard to tell her to embrace it.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's so hard to teach somebody to love themselves in this society anymore. She's got kids at school taking pictures of her and Snapchat and Snapchatting about her and how big she is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ridiculous to me because I don't see this anymore. Being an older person, I'm at the grocery store and I see her watching people around me because they're taking pictures. It doesn't even occur to me that they're taking pictures. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think, so?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What he wants to do. So he wants to take a picture of a big person. If he wants to send it to his friend, what does it matter to me? It doesn't.
Yeah, that's that guy's problem.
Yeah, feeding into the trolls is not something I'm willing to do.
Yeah.
Letting them know that they've upset me is also not something I'm willing to do. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help them. There's no point in it. Unfortunately, they're out there. You can't hide from them forever. Or else you'd be on the 600-pound life. Yeah.
Right. And everybody has to deal with, people they encounter in their own way. Like, I'm the same way when I'm out and people take my photos, I don't even see it. Like, I'm busy doing whatever I'm doing, enjoying my day.
Living my life.
I don't see it. I mean, some people do see it and get upset about it. And, I don't want to invalidate that experience. But, for me, it's I got other things to do. I can't control the way other people react to me anymore. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to live my life. Clearly, if a lady's taking my photo at the grocery store, I'm not going to change her mind today.
No.
What I can do is have a good life and enjoy my husband and have a good time and have a good time with my friends. And that's what I'm here for. I'm not here to change some idiot at the grocery store's mind. It's just not worth it.
I'm living my life and enjoying my life. If you feel a need to take a picture, and then go for it. That's something that you do for you. It's not even about me. It's about you.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What is hard to teach to someone is these trolls and people that call you names. It's not about you. It's about how much they hate themselves.
Yeah.
And they're projecting that on mm-hmm. you.
Yep.
And
exactly.
You can't change it.
Thank you so much to Deanna for being on the show today and for talking to me about her experiences as an infinifat and the ways that we can help improve the lives of other infinifats. So it was such a great conversation, and I'm so glad that I got to talk to her. Deanna, you're wonderful, and I hope to have you back again soon. And thank you to Star Crusher for the music that you heard on today's show, the music you're hearing right now. To hear more, go to cstarcrusher.bandcamp.com. And thank you to our Patreon patrons. The Patreon patron of the day is Chelsea. I love Chelsea. She's my new internet best friend, and she's amazing, and you should follow her on Instagram. She's Fat Girl Laughing. I'm going to put that in the show notes too, so that you know. Because everybody should follow her. I'm also going to put Deanna's Instagram also, so you can follow her. And if you would like to become a Patreon patron, please go to patreon.com/thefatlip to find out how. And some loud noises just started happening outside my apartment, so we're just going to have to play through. Let that happen. okay, so... Also, you should follow on Instagram, especially. My Instagram handle is Fatlip Podcast. That's where most of my social media activity is happening these days. So be sure that you're following. I post a lot of stories where I just am a complete dork. So look forward to that. but also follow on Twitter and Facebook and all of those too. Okay, thanks for listening. I know this is a long one, but it was a really fun conversation, so I hope you enjoyed, and I'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.